Good evening. My name is Eric Eakey. I am the Minister of Young Adults at Faith United Methodist Church in Torrance, and then the Youth Director at El Segundo United Methodist Church in El Segundo. And so kind of represent two of the churches that are participating here. And so it's my honor and privilege to be here. Now I wanted to start off this sermon with a story. And this story, I've been an acolyte one time, and only one time only. And this was in my later years. I was actually probably in high school, and I don't even know if that's allowed, but my best friend and I, we were asked to be acolytes, and the pastor explained to us that all you have to do is carry the little candle lighter down the aisle and light the candles. And we said, well, we can't really screw that up, right? And we said, well, that's something we could do. And well, naturally, we messed up. So what happened is him and I, you know, we have our candles and we're walking down the center aisle and the prelude music is playing from the piano and everyone's eyes are on us and, you know, we have one job to do. And my best friend, he just couldn't hold it anymore and he lets out a big fart. And it wasn't a silent one. It was one that, you know, everyone could hear. And he didn't try to hide it either. His face was that of utter guilt. And you could just tell that it definitely came from him. Now, we were never asked to be an acolyte again after that. Now, why did I tell you this story on Ash Wednesday of all times to tell it? Now, sin is one of those naughty church words that has a dirty notion to it like farting. We all do it. We all know that everyone else does it, but when you get caught doing it, it stinks. Now, on a less joking note, for us to come to terms with the fact that we do sin and for us to confront it is no easy task. And honestly, without God, we wouldn't need to confront it. We could just simply move on with life. Life would be easier. We could simply just continue on without repentance, without humbling ourselves, and without a need to ask for forgiveness. Now God asks us not to do the easy things, but to do the hard things in life. And it's within our text for today that we find David's confrontation with his own sin. Now this psalm comes from the depths of despair, specifically King David's despair. If you remember the story, David, he sends out his armies for war, and he's supposed to go with them, but he doesn't. And so he's kind of walking around his palace one day, and from his position, he sees a beautiful woman bathing and inquires about who she is. He sends someone to her house and finds out that her name is Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. Now, he finds out that she's married, and what does he do next? He invites her to her place, and they commit adultery. Now later she finds out that she is pregnant, and so now he's really done it, right? And so he comes up with this plan to try and cover up his sin, and that plan fails. And so he's like, what's the next thing? I can't let this get out. And so he plots and tells his general to have Uriah to put him at the front of the battle where the fighting is the fiercest. And then when he is there, to back away from him, ensuring that Uriah is killed in the fighting. Now he probably even goes further and marries Bathsheba after Uriah is dead as well. Now David probably would have gotten away with it with his covering of his tracks. But it's when the prophet Nathan comes to David and confronts him on behalf of God that David has to confront his own sin. It's after this confrontation and realization that he has sinned that David pens this psalm. Now, the words of the psalm, I want you to connect with it, the depth of this sorrow, his desperate need for mercy. Feel his angst in knowing that his sin is before God. The thing is, David was exposed. Now, our sin may not be exposed, but we're in the same boat as David, because this psalm shows us the depth of the human condition and our proclivity to sin. Now, David screwed up so badly that he believes he doesn't deserve God's presence. In verse 11, it says, "Please don't throw me out of your presence. Please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me." Now, we know that God will never leave us, but we've certainly felt as if we don't deserve God's presence. I know I've felt that. To be so far down in despair that you believe that God couldn't possibly be there. Yet it's in those moments that we realize the depth of God's love, mercy, and grace towards us. And this is the point of Ash Wednesday. It's sort of a theological reverse engineering, if you will, that by the acknowledgement of sin's seriousness is in reverse a recognition of grace's depth. If we marginalize sin's pervasiveness, we marginalize our strong Savior in Jesus Christ, and we marginalize the effect of grace in our life. And by God, do we have a strong Savior who is full of grace? When we recognize our mortality, when we've seen the reality of death, we recognize the blessedness of life. This is the beginning of Lent, the road towards Easter. By recognizing our sinfulness and mortality, we can fully know the power of the resurrection and the newness of life that comes on Easter morning. Now, with this reminder, as you begin this Lenten journey, we also need a reminder of one more thing. Sin has deep roots. It has deep roots in our hearts. It has even deeper roots in the societal structures that perpetuate oppressive forces against the marginalized. It has roots in the way that we view our brothers and our sisters, our neighbors. Now, I believe that if it weren't for the prophet Nathan, David would have gotten away with his sin. Yet it was the courage of a prophet that humbled him. It's within that same courage that our South Bay mission area needs us to be prophetic. Because not only are we David in the text, who recognizes his need for mercy, but we are also the prophet Nathan, who initiates the actions to humble David and make him aware of his sin. As prophetic witnesses that stand to shine light upon sin, the sin in humanity's hearts, the sin in society, or the sin in intentionally excluding others from the body of Christ, we need courage. Some of the ashes that will be placed on our foreheads tonight are from the Bishop's Worship Service regarding the results of the United Methodist Church's Special General Conference in St. Louis last week surrounding the issue of human sexuality in the church. Some of us grieve, some of us are angry, some of us are lost. Some of us may be ready to just go back to doing ministry as normal. Some of us are just simply watching as things unfold before we make a judgment. But all of us need to be prophetic to our local churches, to our neighborhoods, to our mission areas, to our districts or presbyteries, our conference or synods, and to our larger denominations as a whole. We need prophetic witnesses more than ever now to expose the sin, the wrongdoing, and the hurt that came as a result of the traditional plan. And by God, does our denominations need a repentant heart like David's? It's within the crossroads of penitence and prophecy that we need to exist right now. We must repent with humble hearts, knowing that we've hurt our LGBTQ brothers and sisters, but to also be prophetic, knowing that we must move forward as one church, that we will stand with courage and not cowardice. Now, shortly after the traditional plan was passed last week, my transgender friend became a prophetic witness to me. Both her and her partner grew up in the church and naturally fell away from the church. And they've been seeking out a church home in the recent year. And regardless of your views, I pray that this speaks to you. Here's our communication exchange. Her: "Hi, Eric. You're on my mind today in light of the LGBTQ vote. I know that must be really frustrating. How are you feeling?" Me: "You know, you and your spouse were on my mind today, and I was thinking, how do I tell you that my denomination failed you?" Her: "Well, I'll probably have a few tears once I get off the bus, But honestly, I'm just praying for peace right now. I've begun looking at the United Methodist Church as this really beautiful example of how diverse people can coexist in a very divided country, something unifying and healing. I'm reading that there's talks of a split, which I think would not be a great thing for this country, at least. Me. We're trying to coexist, and it seems to not be working all that well. Honestly, I'm just mostly disappointed. I imagine that some may leave depending on their congregations. Her. Well, I want you to know that this isn't disrupting my journey. I know God loves me, and if anything, I think this is clarifying for my faith. And you know, I wouldn't be on that path without you. Her words spoke deeply to me, and I hope that they speak deeply to you. Let those words initiate in us the same desire that David had. Create a clean heart for us, God. Put a new faithful spirit deep inside of us. Let us carry this cross of ashes upon our head as a reminder of our need for a new heart, and as a reminder that we need to be both a penitent and a prophetic people. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we open our hearts to you and your mercy, God, knowing that we are a people in need of mercy and of grace, Lord. And we thank you that you are a God of grace above all else, a God of love that seeks to redeem all of us, God. We pray that as we gather here on this Ash Wednesday and begin this Lenten journey towards Easter, God, that we are reminded of the things that get in our way, or that get in your way, God, the things in our life that take first seat, Lord, when you should be the priority in our lives, God. We pray that as we clear those things out of our lives, that we seek to declutter them, God, that we also replace them with practices that speak new life into us, God, knowing that we are a people of new life, Lord. We pray that as we continue in this service, God, that you speak to our minds and to our hearts, as well as our collective body here, God, that we are able to be a prophetic witness to the South Bay, to our churches, God, to those that need us to be strong for them, God. Thank you for each and every person gathered in this place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.